Welcome to Operation Retirement Readiness, where Amy and Mike, two certified financial planners, talk about how military members can prepare for transition and how veterans can prepare for ultimate retirement. This podcast represents the views of the hosts and any guests. It is for informational purposes only and should not be considered tax, financial, or legal advice. All information is regarded to be from reliable sources. The hosts are not responsible for any losses, damages, or liabilities that may arise from the use of this podcast. This podcast is not intended to replace professional advice.
Happy New Year's, Amy.
Hey, Mike. Happy New Year. Did you do anything exciting for the holiday?
No, pretty low key, New Year's, went and celebrated the East Coast, New Year's, even though we're in Central Time Zone, and I was, in bed before, midnight out here. So nothing real exciting.
Yeah, that sounds like what I do, only I don't even wait until midnight East Coast time. I just go ahead and go to bed. I'll see New Year's when I wake up in the morning. I just can't stay up to midnight.
I know, it's crazy. I think about how that wasn't always the case, and it used to be it'd be out much later than that. Now I'm like, no, it'll be here tomorrow. So
exactly.
Good deal. So do you you come up with any big resolutions for the year?
I always set a goal for how many books to read in a year. So of course I'll set that goal, and then just a few health goals that I try to stick through, keep them pretty manageable. I'm not one of the folks that, you know, buys a gym membership and then I forget about it, in a month or two. How about you?
About the same. Nothing really big this year. Yeah, you talk about the gym. I hate the early in the year, January, February. It's just packed. And, you know, you go in and you're like, all right, just hurry up and quit your resolution. And, you know, by March, you're back to normal steady state where you can get on the machines you want to, or the equipment. And it's funny to see it actually play out. But yeah, the first couple months of the new year, I'm always like, oh, I don't really want to go today.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure that other people are in the exact same boat, whether they're setting small resolutions or big resolutions. But you know, today, one of the things that we're going to talk about is the financial resolutions that people often set. So the five most common New Year's financial resolutions, and hopefully, you know, people can stick with these. So Mike, what do you think the number one financial New Year's resolutions is for people?
I think one and two are pretty close, but I'm going to say I think it's just to save more. Folks want to, you know, they have goals. Maybe it's they got to build up their emergency fund. Maybe it's to buy a new car or save for a down payment on their house. And, you know, so that's pretty common of folks saying, well, I spent too much last year. I got to, you know, put some away for the future. And, you know, it's an important goal. A couple things when I like to think about it is, you know, start small. Don't go out and say, if you don't have a savings habit, don't suddenly say, I'm going to save 25% of my income now, unless you've got a huge raise that just came in and you've got extra money. But start small. One of my old bosses used to say, start small and scale fast, but look for those opportunities to increase it over time. And then the other piece is just where you're saving. Interest rates have come up quite a bit. And so you can get real interest on your money that you're saving now. But the problem is a lot of the bigger banks are still paying very low rates. So looking at, you know, high yield savings accounts at online banks, is a great way to kind of boost that savings and actually get paid for, you know, having your bank store your money there.
Yeah, that is a big one. Like you said, it's important to start small. You know, we talked about people in the gym where, you know, they haven't been going to the gym at all, and then they decide they're going to join the gym and they start out going, but it tails off. And actually it would be better if they just decided that they were going to do something small in preparation for starting a gym habit, and then slowly scaled into the gym habit so that it would last longer. So it's the same sort of thing with these financial resolutions. So that's a great point. And I'm going to guess that, you know, the number two that you said, you know, one and two are close. Number two is, you know, reducing debt. So these might sound like they're in conflict. A lot of people have the same goal. And later on, we can talk about how you balanced the two of these things. But, you know, the average American is carrying something like, you know, $22,000 worth of debt. And interest rates are up. So while that can help you on the saving more side, it's working against you on the paying down debt side. So I think that a lot of the same tenets you talked about for saving more also apply. So obviously you want to hit your minimum payments every month. You don't want to be adding late fees and things like that to your balance or in addition to interest. But try to pay a little bit extra each month. And if you've got extra income that comes in, either because of a bonus or a pay increase, you know, throw at least some of that money into your reducing debt goal.
Paying down debt is incredibly important. It, you know, credit card rates are now up to about 20%. So people look at their statement and see what they're paying every month on that balance that they're covering. It is very important to get a handle on that and pay that down as much as possible. And kind of dovetailing out of both one and two is, you know, people may want to invest more is probably the third biggest New Year's resolution. They may be thinking long term, like retirement or their child's education, and trying to come up with, okay, well, what do we do? How do we get started? And there's so many great resources out there, tons of podcasts, tons of books. I mean, we could, you know, do so many shows just on investing. But the things I'd recommend if you're just starting out is do your homework. Take some time, dig in, learn about it. Or if you know, don't want to learn about it, find a good advisor that you can trust that can help you start an investing habit, because, you know, prevent the mistakes. There are a lot of ways you can go wrong on investing. And we saw it all during the pandemic with the meme stocks and people putting a lot of money in. Some people definitely made money, but, you know, a lot of people had the heartache of, you know, things are going up, they're buying them at or near the top, and then those things have come crashing back down, and, you know, a lot of people have now sworn off investing. So do your homework. There's definitely ways to do it so that you, you know, balance your risk. And if you're not interested in learning all about it, you know, find somebody that can help you, you know, take the time and do some education for you, but also just help you invest your money.
Yeah. And, you know, like you said, these investing sort of dovetails into the first two resolutions that people commonly set. But just to draw the distinction between saving more and investing more, you know, you hit it on the head. Investing is for longer term goals. There's risk involved, so there's downside, and making sure that you control that, the risk to the downside is a big deal. So savings is for things that are shorter term. So you need to save more if you don't have an emergency fund. If you're saving for a goal that's inside, you know, 2 to 5 years, depending on your appetite for risk. And investing is for things that are outside those timeframes, and doing it in an appropriate way, a cost efficient way. So it's important to have either a trusted advisor or a trusted resource to help you get up to speed on the types of investments, the risks associated with them, and how they might fit or might not fit into your overall financial picture. So we've been through three things already: save more, pay down debt, and invest more. And if you're trying to kind of balance all of those things because you have financial goals that are important to you that fall into all of those buckets, the fourth one is perhaps kind of the tool to help you do those things, and that is setting up a budget. So whether you're a fanatical Excel budget person or using one of the budget apps that are available, or if you hate budgeting, the truth is that you need to keep track of what you're spending. So what's coming in, what's going out, and then deciding for yourself on whether or not you're satisfied with where your money's going. And if you're not, then setting behavioral change goals for yourself. So for example, instead of saying, I'm only going to spend $100 on going out to eat this week, if you're not an Excel person or if you don't love the numbers piece of it, you're not going to track $100 a week. But you could track if your family of four, we're only going out to dinner one time this week. So that's the behavioral goal. We will only go out to dinner one time per week. And we're going to go to a place that's a fast casual place versus a full sit down, more expensive place. Budgeting is kind of what brings all of this together. And everybody has a love-hate relationship with budgeting, but it, in some form, it's something that you have to do.
Yeah, I'm definitely more on the hate side of budgeting. I think it's critically important. And, you know, I kind of like to think of it, I do a version of what people call it, sometimes refer to as reverse budgeting, where you're making sure those big things get taken care of first, the savings, the investing, all that gets either sucked directly out of the paycheck or it's automated to go to the accounts it needs to go to. And then, you know, you spend what's left over. And, you know, that just, you know, that works for me, that I know that works for some other people, versus tracking and saying, oh, I can only spend $200 on groceries and $100 eating out and those type of things. So there's a lot of different ways to do it, like you said, but it's important because, unless you're super happy with how everything's going in your financial life, you're saving enough, you're investing enough, and your debt's manageable, it can make sense to have a budget.
I just want to point out that, you know, you're a financial planner and just admitted that you hate budgeting. So, you know, the key takeaway there is a lot of people hate it. So you just have to find something that works for you. So you found something that works for you. So anybody who's listening who also hates budgeting, take heart that there are people who do this for a living that also hate budgeting.
Exactly.
So Mike.
Go on.
No, go ahead. I was just going to ask what the fifth sort of most common resolution is.
So I think the big one is your kids. So planning for college is a huge expense. And if you have kids, this is usually a top goal. You may have the other things all in place and thinking now of, you know, maybe there's a little extra money. You went through the budgeting and you said, hey, I need to plan for school. And college costs are crazy. I've got a daughter who's in a senior year in high school, just got accepted to college and, you know, not looking forward to those bills, but, planning ahead, understanding what the schools are going to, you know, expect you to pay, saving as much as you can early, compound interest works. If you start, you know, you're about to have a new child, start as soon as you can. It gives you a lot of runway, you know, 17, 18 years to be putting a little bit of money away every month can go a long way. If you're, you know, starting the process later, maybe, you know, you didn't have the income earlier in your career to be able to save a lot for your kids' college, then it's looking at how do you pay for it, and how do you figure out, you know, the best schools to go to? What are the schools that offer more financial aid, be it either merit aid, through scholarships based on them having certain test scores, or if it's actual financial need. So there are a bunch of different schools have a different business models for how they charge. So really getting smart on that as you got high school students and understanding what you can do to pay for college is huge.
Yeah. And also, you know, having frank discussions with your kids as they grow up, you know, age appropriate discussions with them about, you know, what they really want to do with their future and the most cost effective means for getting through it. Because there's plenty of families that, you know, just let their kids pick whatever school and then the family is, you know, financially stressed. Because the child picked a very, very expensive school. Whereas, you know, if you have discussions early on with your kids, set their expectations for how much, you know, they're expected to contribute, and kind of putting parameters around things that are sustainable for your family for all the number of kids that you have, is another important part of the equation.
Yeah, that's critical because, you know, when you're 17, 18 years old, you don't really understand the concept of $300,000, you know, in student loans that, you know, some families actually take out. And so having that discussion, sitting them down saying, okay, converting whatever you're going to take in loans, you know, across the whole family, whether it's parents or students, and saying, this is the equivalent of $1,500 a month for the next, you know, 10, 20 years, you know, double car payment, or, you know, even a small mortgage, you know, depending on where you live. So it can be crazy if you're not doing planning on the front end. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So we've gone through, you know, five pretty common financial resolutions. As we wrap up this show, you know, heading into the next show, we're going to talk about five uncommon resolutions. So there might be a few people out there thinking about these things, but we're going to talk about the five sort of most important things that we see as financial planners that people should be thinking about. So Mike, I'm looking forward to next week, or our next podcast, in a couple weeks.
Yeah. That sounds good. Yeah. These are all good, you know, resolutions to have, kind of the bread and butter, if you will, of, you know, financial planning and health. But there are other things that people may not think of that are, you know, kind of less sexy ones, but are critically important that folks should be taking into account, even if it's not a resolution that they should just be thinking about.
Exactly. Well, Mike, I look forward to catching up with you again in a couple weeks.
Yeah, that sounds great.
To get transcripts, show notes, or more information, go to OperationRetirementReadiness.com. Have a question or topic for the podcast? Send it to info@OperationRetirementReadiness.com. Find out more about Amy and Mike at their websites. Amy is the founder of Instar Financial Planning, LLC. She is retired from the U.S. Army and has worked in the financial services sector since 2019. She's a certified financial planner, a chartered federal employee benefits counselor, and a chartered retirement planning counselor. You can find out more about Amy at instarfp.com. Mike is the founder of Next Mission Financial Planning, LLC. He retired from the U.S. Air Force and has worked in the financial services sector since 2021. He is a certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant, and a certified college financial consultant. You can find out more about Mike at nextmissionfinancialplanning.com.